In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the TV show The Walking Dead, which is a zombie apocalypse drama, Maggie and Tara, who are two women from the same community, talk to each other while keeping watch over their camp. Tara says to Maggie that she can't understand how Maggie and her husband can be friendly to another person in their community after his poor judgment got a friend of theirs killed and risked the life of Maggie's husband. In response, Maggie says, "I couldn't accept it either. But then I thought about you, how we were on different sides of that fence on the worst day of my life. And now, you're one of the most important people in the world to me. Things can get better." The scene made me think about different fences that exist in our lives, where we find ourselves standing on different sides from people with whom we might otherwise be close. Sometimes these fences are of our own making, and sometimes they exist for reasons that are outside of our control. They can be things like religion, geography, income, politics. On November 9th, for example, many people found themselves on the side of a political fence that was more substantial than they were aware. When I say fences, though, I don't just mean difference. There can be difference without division, and difference that's celebrated. Like how spouses can have very different personalities, but we see that as a good thing and that they can complement each other. Or like how at Emmanuel, our different sports teams that we favor has helped us raise over a ton of food in the Bear Packer competitive food drive. But what I'm talking about today is when we find ourselves looking across at another with something that stands between and hinders relationships. It may be something that we choose, or it may be something we very much dislike or regret. When I think of fences that we struggle with, I think of the issue of race in Rockford. If you've been following the recent series in the Rockford Register Star and WNIJ, you have heard about the issue of microaggressions. While overt racism is something that many people denounce, microaggressions are another form of racism that are less noticeable, but can be just as destructive. The leading expert on microaggressions, Dr. Daryl Dwing Su, calls it death by a thousand cuts. They are subtle, discriminatory remarks or actions against minorities. Reporter Karina Curry describes these everyday slights, saying that they are hurtful and they separate us. They form these little wedges. In one of the episodes, Rockford residents talked about their own experiences. One woman talked about being cut in line at a department store, speaking up and yet being ignored by both the person and the sales clerk who watched the whole thing. Another person talked about being the only black person in a friend's wedding party and how he was intentionally ignored by a salesperson who fit everyone else in their party for tuxedos. A white mom who adopted two black boys said that a week doesn't go by that she doesn't hear someone say, "Bless you for what you do," or "Bless you for taking in those kids." She said, "These people are absolutely, genuinely being kind, and I know that. However, what it does in my mind, and when my kids hear it, it makes it look like I did them a favor, like they're not really the ones that people would want. So aren't we kind to take in these kids who aren't highly sought after? I always respond that the blessing is ours. Aren't we lucky?" Even though our society has long moved past Jim Crow laws and the granting of civil rights, these stories show just how alienating and real racism is, and how it operates as a division between us, even by people who mean well. But things can get better. And they will, as we cross fences like this and educate ourselves about the problem and learn from people who are different than us. Following this series and taking part in the corresponding roundtable discussions is an excellent opportunity to do just that. Many of us are saddened by the racial divisions and aggressions that exist in our city. But it's one thing to dislike it and wish it weren't so, than to proactively seek out people whose skin color, culture, or ethnicity is different from our own. In conversations and in relationship, we learn about these experiences. We learn how to talk to each other and what statements might offend. We learn to speak up when someone is cut in line or ignored service. We cross the fence to stand alongside each other with the belief that something redemptive will come of it. It's much like what we did when we hosted the Muslim Friendship Dinner recently. For the past year or so, I've heard many parishioners express their frustration over the discrimination of Muslims and wanting to know what we could do to affirm them. Deacon Doug had the idea of the dinner, and thankfully he and our guild were willing to put that together. In the process of planning, we learned about food customs and where we can buy halal meat in Rockford. At the dinner, we had the privilege of experiencing evening prayers together. And while we didn't know how it all was going to work out, people mixed naturally. We didn't have to assign seats, but rather members of the different communities sought each other out. I got to sit with a woman from Pakistan and her three children. And we both have baby boys who are about the same age, and it was fun to see them interact. When one of them would yell, the other would join in and yell back, and when one would cry, of course, the other would chime in. After the event, people remarked at what a great time they had. Some said how they were surprised by similarities in our religions that they didn't know about, like shared religious figures that we have, or how Jesus is a respected prophet for them. One of their leaders even talked about how we are all children of Adam. One veteran from our congregation told me that it was the first time he had been in a room of Muslim people since his tour in Iraq, and that it was a very healing experience and lifted a burden he was carrying. I heard from more than one person communicating the sense that something sacred took place that night, and that we were walking on holy ground. Like many in our congregation, I never had a problem with Muslim people or their religion, and I assumed that as people of faith, we would have things in common. But that night, I learned it's very different to say, I don't have an issue, than to do something to cross a barrier that exists, even if it's not one that I created or condone. It's different to study a religion than to personally know people who practice it, who can tell you about it themselves. And I also learned this kind of thing can be a lot of fun. This Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And while hopefully many of us will remember to reflect upon those things that we are thankful for, let us also remember a significant part of what this day commemorates. If we think about the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, they had some real fences between them, like language and way of life. But the people of the Wampanoag tribe crossed dividing lines to stand alongside and befriend the Pilgrims. They taught them how to survive in the new land, how to grow corn and extract sap from maple trees, catch fish and avoid poisonous plants. Squanto, who was an English-speaking Native American who had escaped from English slavery, helped the Pilgrims form an alliance with the Wampanoag tribe, which lasted for more than 50 years and remains one of the only examples of its kind between European colonists and Native Americans. And we can remember this as we think about what's happening now at Standing Rock. What the Native Americans did took great courage. They risked the possibility that their friendly efforts wouldn't be reciprocated. But that fall, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a 3-day feast between their communities. It was something to be celebrated then and now. Is that to which we all should aspire? Today in our service, we also celebrate Christ the King. And on this holy day that marks the end of the season after Pentecost and launches us into Advent, we are reminded of another fence. In the story of the thief on the cross, we see that Christ was on the opposite side of the fence from us. Here, we think about how Christ was holy, blameless, perfect, and eternal. And we are like the thief, guilty, sinful, imperfect, and finite. What we celebrate here is that Christ crossed over an impenetrable barrier to stand alongside us, to sit with us, hold our children, and hear our stories. And on what would be the worst day of our lives, when death would claim us forever, Christ stands alongside us and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," in what is our ultimate redemption. Christ did that for us, and as Christ in the world, we are called to do likewise. Because things can get better, and they will, as we follow him on this path. I want to close today offering the prayer of our collect. God, in your mercy, grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under Christ's most gracious rule. Amen.